You can open up your Bible to Isaiah 66. We're continuing in our vision series, and this morning we're looking at a topic that is so pervasive in Scripture. It's really at the core of what it is to be in relationship with God. So let me just start with a brief definition of what we're talking about when we say humble dependence. At the core of humble dependence is a heart posture. At the core of humble dependence is a posture of heart toward the Lord that's informed by truth. We get that truth from Scripture, that acknowledges God's total superiority and our complete need. Okay? The opposite would be prideful independence, which, if you know Scripture and if you've been a Christian very long, you know that that doesn't work in conjunction with living as a Christian, make it impossible for us to please God, since Scripture is clear that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So a few weeks ago, we talked about pride and humility when we talked about leadership and what biblical leadership really is. We said that pride is the focus and pursuit of self, right? Pride is what Paul talks about at the beginning of Romans when he says that they, those who are opposed to God, those who are not walking with God, exchange the truth of God for a lie. So what we do in pride is we take the truth of God and we say, I'm going to be the judge, and I'm going to say, that's not true, God, and what I want is true. What I say is true. How I feel is true. We exchange the truth of God for a lie. And so it's this focus on self, and I know what's best, and I'm going to get what I want rather than being conformed to God and following Him. Humility, on the other hand, is the opposite. It's thinking less of ourselves, right? It's not, we might have a picture in our mind of humility, of being just complete and utterly humiliated. Like, you know, maybe when you drove in, you pass the bus station and we see the people out there. They have no home. They all their possessions are in a bag. There is evidence all around them of their condition of being lowly and completely and utterly in need. That is not necessarily the definition of humility as a position of heart. Because you can be in that physical condition and still be proud in your heart. Really, humility is this lowering of ourselves in our own estimation before God. Humble dependence, what it does is it puts us in the proper place. It puts us in order under God, and it positions us to depend on Him and to trust Him for everything as our Creator, as our Savior, and as our Lord, Master, right? So let's look at Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So here's the God of all creation declaring his power, his immensity, his independence, right? That he doesn't need us, that there's nothing we can do to impress him, that there's nothing we can do to add to him, there's nothing we could do to get to him. And yet, he chooses to set his eye on us, but someone in particular. His favor will rest on the one who is humble, the one who's contrite in spirit, the one who trembles at his word. In other words, the one who hears his word and learns about him and then trusts him and follows him in that. We hear the same thing from the opposite perspective, from David's perspective in Psalm chapter 8. In Psalm 8, 3 and 4, So Isaiah was from God's perspective, God speaking about himself and who he looks to. Here's David's perspective of the same thing. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? When I look at creation, basically what God said, I've made all these things. David's saying, I look at all this and I know you made it all, and I don't know how you made it. And it's incredible and it's wonderful and it's intimidating because it's so immense. Who am I that you would care about me? Who am I that you would be mindful of any of us down here? And yet he does. The God of all creation cares for you. He loves you. He has set his eye on you in a very detailed and intimate way. He's done it through sending his son for you, to die for you, to solve the problem that caused the rift in your relationship with God. And he does it specifically in a very intimate way. Part of his love for us is in revealing himself to us, which he's done for us in Scripture. He tells us who he is so that we can know how to relate to him. And in the gospel, we know our great need as sinners. We know God's sufficiency for us in what he's done for us through Christ on the cross. And the only right and appropriate response to that is humility and gratitude and worship, because we are dependent on the Lord for everything. I want to go through a list of five kind of general topics of how we see our dependence on the Lord play out in Scripture. And when we talk about being dependent on the Lord, we're dependent on the Lord. Honestly, this is no surprise, we're dependent on the Lord from the moment we're conceived, right? Because without our mother's body working, we're dead. And then when we're born, without taking that first breath and being able to breathe and our heart beating, we're dead. All that, we are created by God, we are sustained by God. All these things work because God has willed that they would work. That is his will and his power over all creation and his sovereignty. We are dependent on him in ways that we don't even know when we're not even aware of him. But we are dependent on him first and foremost for salvation. Without him, there is no coming to God. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Let's read that. So let me just say this. A lot of these scriptures we've already covered. We've covered in past sermons on in this vision series. And so I want to read them because they play into and they describe different aspects of our dependence on God. But I want the emphasis to be on that. And we're going to read them, and then I'm going to highlight some of the ways that we see specifically humility and dependence in these passages so that we can get an understanding of this concept. So this is kind of a biblical theology of this topic in each of these passages. So Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. So what were we doing before Christ? We were dead, doing whatever we wanted to do, carrying out the desires of our passions, of our flesh. And because of that, we positioned ourselves under the wrath of God, right? Like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Here's the focus on our dependence in Scripture, our dependence on God for salvation. We were dead, right? And we could spend all morning just talking about dependence in this Scripture, but we were dead, doing whatever we wanted to do, putting ourselves in the position of wrath. But God, on his own, apart from us, because of his mercy and his great love, made us alive. Amen. With Christ. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And then he just says it. It's not your doing. None of this was our doing. Completely dependent on him. Not a result of works, for we are his workmanship. Right? So we were rebelling, separated, deserved wrath. He broke in apart from us, loved us, brought us in and made us alive, and then by faith, by nothing of our own, gave us a purpose in life. To be his and to have something of his to do. And the way we respond to the gospel, and that is the gospel, is through humility. The right and proper response to the gospel is humility. So when we hear it for the first time, I mean, how do you become a Christian? You repent and believe. Both of those take humility. You have to repent, you have to acknowledge I'm wrong, right? There's humility in that. There's a reorganization of placement. I thought I was here above God, but now I see the truth and I see that I'm under God. And so we repent, we turn from our pride, we turn from our sin, and we set aside our own will, our own rule of our lives in humility, and with a contrite heart, commit to trust and follow him and fear his word. Second, we're sustained by Christ. So we depend on Jesus every day after our salvation for strength and grace, right? John 15:4-5, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, abide in me and I in you. This is that interconnected relationship. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's pretty clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the gospel isn't just the ABCs of Christianity, it's the A to Z of Christianity. It's the whole deal. It's every day. That's a quote from Tim Keller, by the way. Jesus brought us in, and Jesus sustains us the whole way. The author and the sustainer of our faith, right? The completer of our faith. That's what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12. So we do this abiding, we do this in relationship with him. We do this abiding in him because we are dependent on the vine every day. None of us needs a biology lesson to know that if we cut that branch off the tree and we set it on the ground next week when we come, it's going to be dead, right? We all know that. And that's the imagery that Christ uses to show what happens to us when we're not connected to him. Third is community. Dependent people grow together. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And we know this is right after the first church was formed. Peter preaches the gospel. A bunch of people get saved, and the first church is formed, and this is their testimony. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad, generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they were devoted to scripture, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is scripture. And they were devoted to each other. They devoted themselves to the fellowship and breaking bread together, being together. And they were devoted to prayer. They were experiencing awe, this idea of awe and reverence and amazement, which is not unlike trembling at God's word. The things that they're learning and the things that are being done in their midst, there's a sense of awe toward God as they encountered the works of the Lord. So there's a freedom that we see in here from the security that we can be tempted to find in material things instead of generosity. They were able to be free with all that they had, and in their witness, living this way, in their community, the Lord added to them new salvations day by day. Now, the fourth category is in mission, or this idea of us being ambassadors. We depend on God and His Spirit to make disciples. We've been commanded together. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Here's what I want to highlight in this passage as we read it this time. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. That's what he leads with. It's like, hey, this isn't on you. The authority is mine. And he ends with, "I'm with you always. I have all authority, and I'm always going to be with you." Now, let's real quick jump to Acts 1:8. This is Luke's account of the same thing. The disciples are asking, what's happening next? Jesus says, "That's not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the focus here, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus, they're like, what do we do? When's this all going to happen? And Jesus says, nothing. Go wait. Go wait because you can't do it. Go wait because you need me. And I'm sending you. I already told you about this. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll know, because he's going to lead you. Then you go. We're dependent on the Lord to empower us for all that he calls us to do, including being his witness, right? We're dependent on him working in the hearts of the lost to draw them, to bring them, to actually make the change in them, because he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he has all authority over powers and principalities, and he has power over the hearts of men and women. Listen, if Jesus can calm a storm, change the weather, he can change a heart. And his promise is that he will always be with us. We don't have to be clever. We don't have to be tricky. We don't have to have a plan all laid out. We don't have to have a script. Sometimes it's helpful to learn what we want to talk about, but what we need is God and a sense of dependence on Him, an awareness that He's the one who has the authority to do what we're called to do, and we just live the way He calls us to live and let Him do the work. The last category, supplied for generosity. We depend on the Lord's provision and we trust Him with all that we have. As we said a few weeks ago, I don't know what number this was in our vision series, but generosity isn't primarily about money or stuff. It's about the heart, just like this idea of humble dependence. It's about reflecting the generous heart of God that has been poured out to us. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it?" And let me rephrase that just a little bit to help us a little bit. If you did receive it, why do you act like it's yours? If you did receive it, why do you act like it came from you? That's the idea of boasting. If you did receive it, why do you act like it originated with you? That because of your talent, your work, your whatever, you get this. And if that's the case, if we're the creator of it, we have authority over it. But what Paul's saying is we're not. Everything we have, even the ability to get what we got, came from God, not from us. So all generosity comes from God. And giving ourselves to Him in response to His generosity toward us, it requires a humble heart. It requires a dependence on Him for all of our provision. And it reflects a trust, a faith that He will continue to provide. The gospel doesn't make us owners. It changes us to steward rightly all that the Lord entrusts to us. Okay, so that's the kind of the five subcategories that I wanted to look at. Now, what does this actually look like? How do we walk in humble dependence? What does this look like in our lives? And there's, I mean, again, I just have some broad categories. And I think these broad categories are important for us, but I would encourage each one of us to go to the Lord with our own lives and the things that, I don't know, maybe the things that you're thinking about right now or the ways that we live, to ask Him and go to His word to find out what does humble dependence look like for me? What does humble dependence look like for you? But as we walk in humble dependence, as we strive to be humble and depend on Him for everything, first, it starts with the heart, as we said, and so we work on positioning our hearts in a way that lines up with Scripture. The very beginning of Jesus' teaching at the Sermon on the Mount, He starts with the Beatitudes, and these are His first words: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And again, I won't repeat everything I said a few weeks ago about humility, but that doesn't mean living destitute. This is a position of the heart. And really, all of the Beatitudes are, that is the path of salvation, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. What are you talking about? We're understanding our actual condition. Before Jesus comes on the scene, we think we're fine, right? But we're starting to see our actual condition, and what should that realization do to us? Break our spirit, break our hearts. I have sinned against the Lord of the universe, right? We mourn over that. It creates in us a meekness, a hunger, and a thirst. It drives us to Him. It's the entry into the kingdom, and it's the path into the kingdom. So once we receive the Spirit, we don't continue to go, oh, I'm such a worm, I'm such a lowly, but we do continue to recognize we don't deserve what we're living in right now. Mm-hmm. We're His creature, we're His creation. And it's not like we went back to all suddenly, like in Jumanji at the end of the movie, you go back and nothing ever happened. We're not like back in the Garden of Eden like nothing ever happened, right? No, we're in a position of being able to experience every day the amazement of what God has forgiven us for and the gifts that God has given us in Himself because of His love for us. That keeps us in a humble position. That positions our heart, right? So that we can be humble and contrite, understanding our need for Him in everything. And then as we see our next passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we trust the Lord with all our heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Dependence means choosing God's wisdom, walking with Him every day, walking with Him in all of our ways, on all of our paths, not just when we've tried to do it on our own and, oops, this didn't work out. God, I need you, right? Now, He's there for us then. He wants us to come to us then, but not just to fix what happened or to get what we want in that moment, but for Him to teach us. Let's back up. Where did you go off the path? Follow me. It's good here. It's best here. I have your best in mind, right? And how do we do that? It's often not a pleasant process, right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. I only put, I think, 31 in your notes. I want to read the whole thing. 40, starting in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How do we follow Him? How do we maintain humble dependence on Him? Wait. Wait. And waiting is so hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's so hard. Usually when we need to hear this is when we're already at a point where like, God, I need you to do something. We wait, like waiting for the Red Sea to be opened when the Egyptian army is charging to you. Wait, like you're waiting for a ram in a thicket. Wait as those who wait through whatever we're going through right now. And I love in this passage how he points out who he has everything. He doesn't faint. He has all understanding. It's unsearchable. It's not just that he has all understanding. You can't even understand it. We can't even know how much understanding he has, right? But the strongest among you are going to fail. The youth, the strength, they're going to fall. They're going to get weary. They're going to get exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord will have their strength renewed. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's seen things that we don't even know about. But when he went to the Lord with his struggle, this is God's response to him. He said to me, basically, no, I'm not going to take it away because my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I'll boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, don't you wish you had that response when you hear wait? When you hear, no, I'm not going to take it away because I'm going to show my grace and my power in you through this struggle. Like, no, because I don't want the struggle, right? But God says, it's not about the struggle. It's about your heart for me. It's about faith and trust. Weakness isn't an obstacle to faith. Weakness isn't an obstacle to ministry. Weakness isn't an obstacle to growth. It is a reality of our condition. It is evidence of our need for God and the way God chooses to show his power to us and to those around us. So it's, if you think about it that way, it is the reality of our condition and it's an evidence of our need. That fits perfectly with what God says, because he says, come to me, all who are weary. You know, it's like we don't come that way unless we're convinced we're weary and we're broken. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And our eyes should be set on those hills every day. Because I think we're most susceptible to pride, or most susceptible to thinking we got it without God when there's not a big problem. We start thinking, okay, things are rolling around good. Things are, you know, I've got this. But to remember, he is our help. He is our everything every day. So to walk in dependence on God, we start by positioning our hearts before him, submitted and surrendered. And the best way to do that is with scripture, reading and meditating on scripture. And in Ephesians 3, Paul prays for the church. He prays, and in his prayer for the church, what does he pray for? He prays that they would know the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And here's the prayer, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength. We need strength just to understand this, that you would have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of Christ. There's like six sentences in that one sentence, okay? It's too much. But that's Paul's prayer for us. The very act of going to Scripture communicates dependence. And if we let it, Scripture will guide us, it will strengthen us, it will convict us, it will encourage us, it will change us, it will lead us on the path of life, and the Holy Spirit will do that. The Holy Spirit will bring it to life and connect us ever deeper with Jesus, all right? Prayer is another essential part of walking in humble dependence, one of the clearest expressions of humility and dependence. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's the result of that? The peace of God, which surpasses understanding. Peace in the midst of situations that deserve no peace, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that's intentional wording, will guard your heart, because when we're anxious, it leads us to places Scripture doesn't want us to go. It leads us to places that take us away from God, and we start to extrapolate, and we start to try to understand on our own and make sense of things. And God wants us to trust him. He wants us to remain firm in him, on his truth. And so what does this look like for us as a church plant? As with everything, all of these things start with us individually, right? We bring together as a church, any church does this, we bring what we have when we're together. We can only bring what we have. So the sum of our relationship with the Lord, our faith, our encouragement, our love, generosity, passion, maybe it's brokenness, conviction, grief, or maybe nothing. Whatever we have, whatever we're experiencing with God, that's what we have when we bring when we're together. So as a church, we do the same thing that I just described. We walk in dependence and humility before the Lord because he does oppose the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And so we want to position ourselves as a church in submission to him, in surrender to him, to follow Jesus, to follow his will, to listen and hear, to wait on him. The psalmist says in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. Mm-hmm. Or in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it's ultimately not through our efforts. Now we work. And it's hard work, right? We work, we serve, we put in time, but it's not gonna be the strategy and the plan and funding and all of these things that make what we do successful in God's eyes. It's gonna be by his power. It's gonna be by his wisdom. It's gonna be by his work, by his spirit, that we will grow and flourish. And so how can we make that happen? Here, we can make that happen, first of all, by us starting to implement these things, to evaluate our lives in our private lives, so that we can say, what are we bringing in? And then together to begin being more mindful of this, spending more time praying together, spending more time getting input, going to each other when we have need for whether it's practical needs or spiritual needs or difficulties or conflicts that we can't get through or whatever that might be, that we bring other people in so that we're not being independent, but that we're being dependent on the Lord. We are all dependent on the Lord, and God in his wisdom and his design has made this vertical relationship connected to this horizontal relationship. So in a very real sense, we are dependent on each other. There's a way that God calls us to do that. So that's what we want to be as a church that genuinely depends on God, a church that prays because we know all power belongs to our God and that he cares for us. He cares about the things that we're going through and that we need and that he wants to do in us, a church that opens scripture because we need him. We need to hear from God, and we need to be reminded of his truth. We want to be a church that serves one another because we know no one follows Jesus alone. A church that shares the gospel because we love like he loved us, and we trust him, and we depend on the Holy Spirit to do the heavy lifting in our hearts and in the hearts of those he's drawing. We want to be a church that's generous because he's been so generous with us. And we trust him for all of our needs. And we want to be a church that worships Jesus with all that we are, with all that we have, because we know how good he's been to us. And we know we can depend on him for everything because he is faithful. That's who we want to be. Not impressive on our own strength, but unmistakably dependent on the Lord, on a God that is impressive in a way that shows just how glorious and loving and generous and powerful and immense and beautiful our God really is. That's the message we want to send out. That's the reflection we want to give to everybody around us. Amen.